Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Pensacola, Florida, it's time for Pensacola Business Radio. Now, here are your Business Radio X hosts.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Keith over here, Pensacola Business Radio. This is our Foodie Life Hour. I am surrounded by foodies, aficionados, and a table full of tequila.
That is correct.
Yes.
On all accounts.
This is going to be a great afternoon. And this episode, we're just going to call this a special announcement episode because everybody here has something really cool to share. So why don't we go around the horn and introduce yourself? Go for it, Calvin.
Hey, this is Calvin, Grub Ninja, CEO.
Hey, it's Renee Legere again with Hop Jacks, the Tin Cow, Pot Roast, and Pinot.
Who has now seen Mallrats.
I have seen Mallrats and more. So.
This is Joe Abston, and we're with Hop Jacks, Tin Cow, Pot Roast, and Pinot. And you missed Edible Invaders. You're killing me.
Yeah.
This is my marketing person. Yeah. That's all right. We'll put you in the corner later.
And she hasn't even started drinking the tequila.
I know.
Man.
I told her, I said, you must eat before you come here.
I just finished a power bar for some foundation. So, all right. Well, let's talk about what you brought, man, because this scares people. I'm intimidated.
It does. So, and this is kind of what this will tie in a little later, but you know, what I wanted to do was kind of approach the taboo subject of tequila, because there are a number of people, there's a certain percentage of the population that has this, they had that tequila night, that one tequila night, and they said, you know what, I can't smell it, I can't eat. That was because they were drinking garbage tequila.
Yeah, yeah. I have consumed enough. I like tequila, but I know the difference.
Yeah, I'm not going to use the name, but Revenge is a real thing. So yeah.
That's it.
But so I want to just kind of bring some ideas and some cool stuff that most of these are readily available tequilas, but
not too expensive either. Reposado is not.
No. They're really not bad. I think the most expensive on the table. So we've got El Jumador, the Blanco tequila.
Say it again. Say it again.
El Jumador. It's like when
you
got to
do it in Spanish, dude. Yeah.
El Jumador.
Yeah, it's not cilantro. It's cilantro.
Cilantro.
Okay.
So that's a silver tequila. It's just a very easy. It's what you should be making margaritas out of instead of the stuff in the jug. Maestro Nobel, which is a really cool product. So it's a clear tequila, but it's not actually a Blanco. It's a combination of a Blanco, a Reposado, and an Añejo.
What are the differences?
So,
because some people will only drink clear tequila.
Correct.
Some won't drink. I mean, some will only drink the dark.
The darker stuff. So it's Blanco is unaged. Reposado is aged a small amount of time. And then Añejo is aged longer. And then you get extra Añejos. And there's classifications. It's got to be this many years or what have you. Not stuff that's in the front of my head right now.
Yeah.
But this Maestro Nobel is really cool because it's a combination of all three, the Blanco, Reposado, and Añejo, and then they redistill it and filter it through a crazy like diamond process or something weird like that.
Cool.
And you taste these two side by side, this will knock your socks off. Good tequila, nothing wrong with it.
Right.
Make margaritas with it.
Where are all these made?
Most of them are made in Jalisco, Mexico.
Yeah.
So they have to
all imported, huh?
Yeah, they all have to be to be a tequila, you have to be from a very small section of Mexico.
So all these like rock star dudes that open up their little tequila distilleries, they're legit. It's not just like importing somebody else's stuff.
I'm not going to go that far, but they're definitely those products to have the name tequila on it. It has to be made in
awesome.
One of these
I did
areas.
Not know that, dude.
So, and then
I thought it just had to be tequila.
Exactly. 1800, good stuff, but this is the Reposado. And this little darling right here is going to change your head.
That one's last?
This
that
was
one's
last. This is last. This is a mezcal, and this one is not available in the States. We had to bootleg it. It came home legally in the suitcase. I have not sold it. I will not sell it. It's not legal to sell in the States at all, but it's a tasty little beverage. It's a tasty little beverage.
Excited. Told you today was a good day to hang out.
Today's a great day.
Today's a good day.
I'm a big drinker.
So I want to know, how did the Rogue Beer Dinner go?
The beer dinner was awesome. We we had a great turnout. We had two of the beer representatives down, and they were telling great stories, having fun with Joe. They've had a really long relationship with them, and we were excited. We had a couple media guests come by, take some photos of everyone. One guy got to celebrate his birthday. He turned and looked at his girlfriend and was like, this was the best birthday present you could have gotten
me. He took me out for food and beer.
Yeah. And lots of beer. And
you better remember that next time it's her birthday.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think she's going to go in for beer, though.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but at least he just better remember to do something.
Well, and any time that Joe's cooking, he always likes to add a bonus dish, a bonus feature to really, test out what the people are liking and kind of, get to play around in the kitchen more. So yeah. I think that was nice. Everyone's sitting around waiting on the next course. And then bam, I just kind of got bored back there and wanted to cook you some more food.
Nice.
Yeah. So we were just playing around, playing with some new possible menu items.
So what makes Rogue, and I think you guys told, we talked about this last time, but why Rogue?
Rogue.
Don't let me stop you from pouring tequila, by the way. Go for it.
Yeah, exactly. Say stop asking questions.
Yeah, I know, right? Keith, shut up. We're drinking. Yeah.
It's, Rogue is, it's just a, it was one of the original craft breweries. I mean, they've been around for a long time, 25 years, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. And they march to their own drum. They have their own farms. They grow their own hops. They raise the bees that make the honey that go in the mead. They're just really wild and just, they're going to do it their own damn way.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what makes their beer stand out pretty good. They are spot on beers. I mean, and they're rule breakers and they do a lot of, I think they put out a pumpkin beer, but it came out in June because that's, when those pumpkins were ready.
Right.
Just because they felt like it.
That's awesome. Pumpkin beer in June. What kind of beers do they have?
Renee just handed me. So. Dead Guy
Ale. Awesome. That's their flagship.
Brutal IPA. I don't do IPAs, but I respect the process.
Yep.
The coffee, really? Mocha Porter?
It was awesome.
Was it?
Yeah. Awesome.
That's too
cool. So the last beer was a...
New Crustacean.
It's a wheat ale, barley wine. So it's he made up a classification. So
it even ends in ish. It's like barley wine, IPA ish.
Yeah, right on. All right, here we go.
So this is the El Jimador. I was going to say no shots, but hey, whatever, man.
No, dude, that's good.
See?
And this is warm. It's not
it's
even chill.
It's warm. There's no salt. There's no lime.
It's smooth.
So, cheers. Salo.
Oh, wow. I'm impressed, man. So the extent of my full-on tequila education stopped at Three Brothers. You ever had Three mm-hmm. Brothers? And Patron Silver. Yep. I mean, and they've always been sold chill. I know you make the face, but I mean, that is literally where I've graduated to. And I just don't, and I mean, I don't hang around tequila tastings like you do. Joe.
Hey,
you know,
it's not. I don't discriminate.
It's not, what do I want to have this week? I don't know. Let's call a vendor and have a tasting.
I would like to be a part of that.
I'm a big Calvin says, for the record, include me.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
With tequilas, yeah, I like to go with the what do we call the golden ones?
Yeah, the reposado. Yeah, the color on
dude,
it.
Dude, that was good though.
Isn't it good?
So color to me always meant bad night. When it came to tequila.
Really?
Because I was drinking the crap and all the crap was colored.
And here's the thing. I'm Dominican and Puerto Rican Caribbeans. Actually, the clear, the white is bad news.
Really?
So that's why we go with the reposados and the golden because we feel like we get a good margarita, Cadillac margarita, and that's not going to really kick your butt the way the El Jimador Blanco or Cuervo Blanco. So it's funny. You coming from where you're coming from.
Yeah. And in your culture, it's no.
Yeah, it's no. It's not. It's completely different.
Wow.
All right.
I had no idea.
Yeah, so this is not a shot. I'll tell that before I
okay,
hand this
okay,
to
okay,
Keith.
Okay, okay. Do I still get a lime?
No, I don't think you need a lime. This is a sipper, man. I'm telling you.
See, that sounds just so weird to me. Sip tequila.
Yeah.
Renee's like, nah,
I know,
not so much.
He's like over the beer and the wine. Now he's graduated. I'm like, nah, let's just sip on some tequila.
Holy cow, dude.
Completely.
That doesn't even
different.
Taste like tequila.
I know. That's the point.
Yeah, wait. Oh. Yeah. I'm sitting there like
that's good, man.
It's a bad thing, but I would have to have like another one of that.
Is this one that you, okay, what is this? Dobel.
Maestro Dobel.
Diamante.
Yep.
So is this one you put in drinks or is this one you like really encourage just to sip on the rocks?
Look, we're not a sipping tequila culture around here. Okay. We tell people look, we make margaritas with it. We make drinks with it. We make cocktails with it.
Yeah.
We also tell people, put a little, put on the rocks, put a little splash of soda.
Dude, a little
and a
lemonade
lime.
Or some, yeah, exactly. Some Sprite or something in there. Just a little lemon lime.
Yeah, that's good.
Just really, really chill. So, and that's what we're kind of wanting to do is introduce people to things that are, a little more.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't have to. What's the Chevy Chase the scene where he snorts the salt, yeah, throws
he snorts the salt, throws the lime, and
squirts a lime in his eye, and throws a tequila over his shoulder.
That's it.
You know,
that's it.
We can get away from that.
You know? You know what? I'll tell you, my wife wants to get. You know, she's looking. She's a big margarita fan, and she's been looking all throughout. You know, Pensacola, just trying to find. She can't find something.
Wow. You know what? We might have to talk a little later. This is going to be a very fun.
We're going to get into it here. So, I mean.
So you got to tell me what Grub Ninja is. Like,
Calvin gets to go first. So, all right, here we go. So here's one of three awesome announcements. So go ahead. Explain
Grub Ninja is local restaurants, fresh food, deliciously delivered. So it's your take on a platform, but we go beyond that. We do marketing. We have a show called Grub On where we film the local restaurants and we get them out there and people get to see that. And FYI, part of my announcement is first go live for Grub Ninja. It's going to be on gallery night over at O'Reilly's between 8 and 11.
Yeah.
So you guys get to see the show. You know, again, that's one part of Grub Ninja. And then the other aspect is we have the digital, local digital. And we partner up with a company called City Spree because they are the best delivery companies that I've seen out there. So, again, we're just trying to get the local restaurants out there. And, again, no cost up front.
That's awesome.
What that means is that we all
you
know.
You just expanded your customer base. That's what that means.
You know. So what
and
that
I can be lazy.
What that means is you know, you pay YP $2,000, $3,000. I'm saying I'm not making a penny until you make a penny.
Right.
And that's what Grub Ninja is about. That's where we're going from there. And, again, to go back to Grubon, Grubon's going to be the TV show for Pensacola. Is how we're going to broadcast our restaurants out there. We're going to take it to the tourism. We're going to bring it overseas if we can. We're going to bring it throughout the country. And again, focusing on, you know, Hop Jacks and, you know, to pay a bit of respect to Joe. Really,
Alice. Why start now, huh, Joe?
But really, hands down, Alice Cooper, Wayne World, we're not worthy. I went to Hop Jacks and I said, love the Belgian fries. I can't name all the pieces, but I like the filet mignon. I love the duck. I love the seafood pizza with the cream. What's that one called? It has
with the cream cheese stuff on it?
Yeah, with the cream cheese. And it might be seasonal. I think I just ask for it all the time.
My servers will always, they put cream cheese on everything. If you stand still too long, you're going to get a block.
I love cream cheese. It's the best pizza. And then again, what is it? 111 taps?
112.
112. Sorry, 112. Keep going, please. I just go in there and I'm like, oh, you know, I want a Belgian ale. I have that. I want a tangerine IPA. I have that. So I'm just in my own world, and they have a kick-ass DJ over our gallery night, so I'd love to enjoy the music.
Yeah.
So again, but just to bring that out and show that on Grubon and let people know, hey, Pensacola has the scene that you want to be at. That's what Grub Ninja's about.
Very cool. I'm part of this too because I'm helping you guys get the Grubon stuff going. So, I'm sold. We're going to be ready. We'll be ready next Friday. So you'll see the first episode.
That's right. At O'Reilly.
Hopefully I won't look too fat on TV.
Radio removes 10 pounds, doesn't it?
Yes, but I'm going to take it all back on television. So if you guys are in the area and you're up and down for gallery night, go see Joe at Hop Jacks and get a beer or come see us down at O'Reilly's. We're going to be hanging out outside and we'll have Foodie Life t-shirts and Grub On stuff and Grub Ninja stuff. And
just have a good old time.
Start getting the ball rolling.
Love it.
If you get hungry from all the booze at Hop Jacks and O'Reilly's, the Tin Cow will have the burgers and grill set up outside, so you can just run up, go get one.
Are you guys doing the burger battle?
I just got some info about that. I haven't gotten any hard things about it.
Be talking to one of the main guys.
I love this. This is why I come here and connect with the great people, man. I'm always up for a
challenge. Independent or as Tin Cow, go for it, dude.
Yeah. We're gonna throw a Hop Jacks burger down real soon. That's going to go on.
You're going to create some civil war?
Oh, it's going to be civil war.
Civil war. And another thing to add on to Grub Ninja is I want to bring the restaurant scene locally. So we did start a segment in the new One Networking Group called Grow. And we're meeting up Mondays, Keys, Galleys, next Monday after that, Rio Bravo. But it's to talk about things like this. This is where the creation happens. So if you guys are out there and you guys can come out to the Grow, we're on Facebook and everything else. Again, Kiskali Restaurant down on Gregory this Monday, the Monday after that, Rio Bravo.
From when? 11 to what is it?
It's 11:30 to 1.
Yeah.
And if you guys come out, I want to bring up this mentality we were sitting. And if you guys always want to bring out shots, it's also recommended as well.
I don't know. Pretty Joe's trying to tell me something.
Yeah, I sorry about that. So we have that going on. So
hopefully to answer your question about Grub Ninja, we're doing a whole lot. It's just, again, it's not just online ordering. It's, I want to be able to access my restaurant, see what they're about, see the, why I'm going to Hop Jacks. And you know, when I'm speaking about the pizza, why am I getting the pizza? They put cream cheese on everything. I love cream cheese. You know, we go from there.
That's
cream
awesome,
cheese
man.
And crack sauce.
I love it.
That's it, man.
The other thing, if you're not careful, is jalapenos, man.
Dude. So I'm down with that.
Yeah, yeah. You're spicy.
I'm down with that to a certain extent because you're right. I'm just eating it, and then all of a sudden, this is where I need my tequila, right? I'm like, hey.
Exactly.
And then
I need a palate cleanser. <Yeah. here>.
I got to say, the Dobel Diamante, you have to stop yourself from shooting it as a shot. Mm-hmm. Like, I had to consciously tell myself, hey,
don't
by the way,
this.
Sip this one. So, all right, what's next? What's this one?
Did you not get the
It's called revisiting
Calvin?
in the industry. We can revisit.
No, I thought we were going to just take it and then we were going to sip as we go out, you know.
Well, you know.
You never come to this table and really plan out what's going to happen.
Right. We're just a lot of shooting from the hip. Baby.
Exactly.
We call that organic.
Organic. Yeah,
let it So,
trying
okay.
to be a family show here.
I know, right? Okay, what is this? This is the Reposado?
That's the Reposado. 1800 Reposado. Good entry into the caramel color, you know, the nice, slightly aged tequilas.
So this will not, is this going to be a smooth?
I feel like a smooth, yeah.
But you like the dark rum. Yeah. I mean, the dark tequila.
The rum?
Don't worry, Pete, where are you?
I am here.
Are you
I
on
swear
the island?
It's not the tequila.
He says there's air conditioner in this room, but I'm pretty sure he's lying.
Yeah. It gets hot in here, that's for sure.
But yeah, this one, it's you can find it anywhere.
You might need to pass
my
him a line.
Now, please.
Yeah.
I guess ooh. I just like stronger ones than me.
Yeah, I just that's
you're like it's smooth, it's nothing. Yeah. And we keep it dying over
I'm like
here.
Choking on my microphone here. All right, Renee, what's up? What do you got coming up?
We always
what
have.
What don't you have coming up? Let me rephrase that.
Well, we're really excited because next week, I don't know if you've heard about the new brewery that opened up behind McGuire's, Gulf Coast Brewery. They're actually going to have launch parties at both of our Hop Jacks locations up north on 9 Mile and then also downtown on Palafox. So they're going to bring out Sandbar Red Ale, a Changing Tides Cream Ale, and a Backstabber Coffee Porter. So that's going to be Wednesday, March 16th, 5 o'clock up north, 7 o'clock downtown. We have Sunday, March 20th, Pot Roast and Pino, our pajama brunch every third Sunday. If you come in for brunch.
Wait. I can go eat brunch in my pajamas?
Whoa. You're going to have to put on something that resembles pajamas to the rest of the world.
Darn.
Yeah, not in your pajamas. Yeah.
Pajama-style clothing.
Pajama-style clothing.
That will not offend any other table.
Footies, we're looking for the foodies and footies.
Yeah, there you go.
No, but if you do, seriously, we'll reward you. You come in your pajamas. You don't have to get prettied up. Just roll in. Come get your brunch on. Come in your pajamas, and we'll give you a free mimosa.
Okay,
what kind of food are we talking about when we're talking about
brunch, man?
Chicken and waffles.
There is no category. That's the category.
Steak whatever. And eggs.
What I want to know is like, what's the specialty? You know, you got the chicken and waffles. You got a.
You don't steak. Do a buffet style, correct?
German chocolate,
it's all seated.
Pancakes.
It's all seated.
You order. Pot roast and peanuts is
civilized and whatnot.
Yeah. It's a wonder we're allowed in here. The pot roast and peanuts got a twist on comfort food. So we take all those things that you kind of know and go, all right, let's twist this around. Let's pot roast, meatloaf, deviled eggs, but we foodie them up a little bit. Yeah, they're good.
Deviled eggs is like one of my just things that just doesn't work, man. Just doesn't work. The smell of hard-boiled eggs kills me.
Yeah, but you know.
I love hard-boiled eggs.
God, of course you would. I knew it.
No, but he gets in trouble all the time with his girlfriend Amy because he eats. What part of like he?
I just eat the whites. I don't like the
you
yolks.
You don't like the yolk. No.
See, I like to double up the yolks. I do like to put the paprika. No.
That's good. You know,
it's the
I can
smell,
handle
man.
That.
Got ruined for me. Yeah. Avocados are another one.
Easter was
can't
always my
it.
Favorite.
I can't do it.
You can make all the faces you want. I'm not doing it. Just nope. Ever since having kids, avocados just don't work anymore.
Really?
Nope. There's
ever
probably one or two.
Kids?
Yeah. Well, you know, you get kids, you change diapers.
Okay.
You know, I mean,
that's got to do with that.
How much more blatant do I need to get rid of?
Yeah. I know. I'm like, wait, what? Okay, I mean, sorry, keep in mind, I have not had children over here. So
yeah.
I'm like,
yeah, this is
oh my God.
So I'm like, okay, what does he mean?
Yeah.
But then I kind of get what he's talking about.
So you guys want to go next? You want to go second?
Let's
I
go.
Think you're ready. I'm bursting to hear all this. So bring it.
So we are a family of restaurants. We have, you know, a few in our
it's
repertoire.
A sickness.
It is a sickness. is a sickness. My girlfriend told me that I can, she told me I can open all the restaurants I want as long as they're all walking distance.
Right.
So actually, eight block radius.
Eight block radius.
I think that's an awesome idea.
You have parameters.
Exactly. You know?
Yeah.
Like, so, she literally just told him this a couple months ago. I was there. I can vouch for it. She just, she said, "Ha, open as many as you want, as long as they're in an eight block radius."
And then we signed another lease.
Yeah. So Joe takes this to heart.
Yeah. All right. Don't threaten me with a good time.
So
we are opening called Taco Mez. It is a tequila and taco bar, and it is 21 West Romano.
Awesome.
People may know it as 21 West. They may know it as Sweet. It used to be, but the truth is, it used to be a Mexican restaurant.
Long time
years ago.
But in a galaxy far, far away.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But it's it's a half a block from the Tin Cow. So it is.
So you can walk to it.
So I told her, don't threaten me.
That's it.
I was really fortunate. I got to go down and work with a chef in Mexico and really kind of get into the food and get it more of a Mex-Mex than the Tex-Mex.
Yeah.
We made salsas out of shrimp shells and it blew my mind. And I mean, yeah. I've been a chef for, 20 some odd years. And you said
said salsa out of shrimp shells.
Yeah.
Blew my mind. Blew my mind.
I believe it. And this is what is so cool about going to these, whether it's here in the States, whether you're cooking in England, whether you're going down to Mexico, when you start getting into the backside of the back roads and hanging out with those that live there and know how to procure it, man, you find some of the coolest things you've ever had.
It is ridiculous. It is ridiculous. That was really the cool part. I mean, I'll go into it later probably on a video, but we literally burned things to make them right.
Yeah.
And it was floored me.
Yeah.
Floored me.
I could see that.
But the whole premise is that we're a taco and tequila bar, and I have a couple of rules for this location. There's no sombreros and there's no mariachi bands. So,
can I bring my maracas?
It depends on your maracas.
Good answer.
But we're really leaning this more toward Day of the Dead, the Lucha Libres, the Mexican wrestlers.
The real traditional stuff.
Yeah,
huh?
So we really want, we want to go after this from a culturally correct way and then throw a little bit of Joe weirdness into it.
Good for you, though, dude. Way to, capture it like that as the culture.
Exactly.
Oh, my Lord. We have had a second delivery.
I like having friends. So
I see
our great friends.
So Joe knows where to locate things from time to time. Let me see that.
From Breakthrough Beverage, a guy I've been working with for years. He just delivered two more tequilas. Kaylin Knight did some awesome stuff. And these are great brands. Things that you can get in the States. Herdura, so this is a Humidor.
So this is a different line,
different line. Saint Herdura. Yeah. Herdura.
Humidor.
Herradura.
Herradura?
Herradura.
Nice.
That's how you go.
I'm a white guy.
What he said, yeah.
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 Just take the R's and make them kind of D's.
D's.
Herradura.
Yeah.
That's cool, man.
I like it.
Okay.
So the whole premise of with the restaurant is to kind of get it back to basics. We're doing house-made corn tortillas.
Yeah.
Tableside guacamoles.
Nice.
Probably, like, if this isn't an idea, we're going to be, we're probably going to start off somewhere between 75 and 115 tequilas, full cocktail bar.
Yeah.
So we're taking the classics that and we're twisting them.
Very
and,
cool.
Whether it's Death in Jalisco, we've got drinks.
I would like the record to state that I have the menu in front of me. Not only is lengua in it, but the correct Oaxaca Mexican cheese, which is like, if you've ever had it, it blows away the white queso you get anywhere else.
Yeah.
It is the best cheese ever.
I love queso. So,
So Joel, who you can't see because he's doing camera and filming, his wife is full on Mexico.
Oh, yeah.
So, man, she makes some of the coolest stuff for him, and he's like, he digs it. So
he's like, I second that.
Yeah.
Like, forget
the
queso.
He's over there nodding when I'm talking about
Oaxaca. I know what's up.
Correct the Spanish here.
Yeah. Herradura. Yeah.
That's it, man. Okay. So when are we coming to eat?
When are we coming to eat? So we will be eating somewhere probably, I don't want to put a hard date on it. It will be within the next 60 days.
Okay.
He doesn't want to curse us. If he gives you a date, then something construction wise will be a nightmare tomorrow.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
So, but
with construction, it's going to be a nightmare tomorrow anyway.
It is. It's a nightmare yesterday.
It's a nightmare yesterday.
Let's just hope that we don't need to make plans for Cinco de Mayo because we already know where we'll be.
Oh, that's right. See,
look at that. You did good. So, in your travels to and working with this, what was the chef's name? Are we allowed to release that?
Let me ask him before I do it.
Yeah. But as you're that one sort of grabbed me by the boo-boo. Which one was that? The one we just talked about?
Yeah, that's the...
Okay.
El Jimador.
Okay. All right, hold on.
Ready?
Please break for this courtesy announcement. Oh, wow.
I like that. That is
good, huh?
Yeah, that is my favorite.
Yeah.
So therefore, I'm saying okay, that is
stronger. And it's in between because it's not dark, but it's
not
light.
Dark, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was looking at. I was looking at the color. I'm like, is that, did they just say, you know?
Well, there goes my workout this afternoon. I can tell you that.
I went to the gym before I got here. Thank you very much.
I didn't have, one of us didn't have time. We had other things we were working on. So, okay. So, in your work with the chef and trying to do what you just said, which was more of the Mex-Mex and keeping things sort of real and simple, did you find some cool new cooking techniques? I know you said you were burning stuff, but have you had a hard time locating some of these ingredients? Because let's face it, it's, cilantro down there is not cilantro here in Florida.
That is correct. So I'm going to hand you this next cup. Do not shoot this.
Whew, darn it. That's it. I'm out. I can't hang out anymore.
So we really did. It is part of the challenge is making sure that we get the right things in there.
And you represent it in the right classical way.
Exactly. We messed with things called Mexican corn truffle.
Yeah.
And it's a fungus that grows on a corn that only happens a couple of times a year. In the States, they throw it away and they burn the crop around.
Yeah.
In Mexico, they mark it up 15%, 15 times. It's just crazy, crazy stuff. So there is going to be some challenges that we work with, but you know, we're going to do the best we can with the ingredients we can.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, starting honestly with the limes. I mean, I brought one of them with us because
it is a different lime than what you get from either Florida citrus or Georgia. What's the other big lime here? It's not, I want to say it's Mississippi, but I don't think so. I think it's actually Alabama.
Yeah.
Alabama, Southern Florida, and then Georgia has a huge lime growing market, I guess, for lack of better terminology.
Yeah. It's a different product, and it's those little things that will be, is kind of how we're going to separate ourselves and make ourselves different.
Awesome.
So we're doing street tacos, straight up hand corn tortillas, meat, onions, cilantro.
Yep.
That's it. Just as quick as possible.
Yeah.
So we'll be able to bang out a quick lunch and then also have some really cool, interesting non-street tacos. Some things that you recognize. We're not doing fajitas.
So can we speak about the corn tortillas? I mean, I'm not too big on
Dude, once you have had a pressed, fresh, real corn tortilla, you'll never go back.
Yeah.
I'm a big corn tortilla fan. And so one of the biggest thing I want to ask is I always want to make them bigger and everything else. So you're making it homegrown, homemade. You can get different sizes and everything. Are you going to be using corn tortillas for most of your dishes? Or
We'll try to keep them realistic. So things that
let's face it, no chef likes banging out 500 corn tortillas before dinner. So,
but
it doesn't need to be the whole left side of the menu as a vessel.
Exactly. But the chips that we use, the chips and salsa that you get when you sit down, it's going to be fresh tortillas. Yeah. Actually, one of the tricks is that you can't use fresh. They actually have to be a day old.
Right.
You let them sit for 1 to 3 days, and then you fry them and dip salsa.
Yeah. So, yeah.
It's those, dude, weird, it's so those tiny excited. Little things, man.
So I have to say, out of all of my Mexican, is probably like true Mexican, and even the Spanish influence stuff is probably in my top three of the ethnicities of foods that I like to just grub on.
Yeah.
No pun intended.
No pun intended.
Seriously, no pun intended.
Pun intended.
Product placement.
Okay, so is this final? Close enough?
It's not.
We can talk about it?
Yeah, we can talk about it.
So pork rind nachos. My dad, every road trip, bag of pork rinds and a squirt. I don't know if you remember
squirt.
Yeah,
I remember squirt.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And that's the joke twist. I can't just be, you know, completely normal.
No, that's too boring anyway.
Pork rind nachos.
So pork rind nachos, guacamole prepared table set. So most people don't realize that is truly how you do it, first of all.
Yeah.
Do you know what makes guacamole so creamy in Mexico?
Enlighten me.
frog legs. A true traditional Mexican guacamole is made with frog legs. That's the part that makes it creamy.
Okay, so I did not. I missed that day in class.
Yeah, I've never.
Yeah, I will try it though.
Yeah, and so they are either steamed, grilled. You can smoke them. Yeah. You can add all kinds of different flavors.
Pound them in with the
bone and all, man. You just throw it right there, either with the RoboCoo or you just pound
it up.
I have
frog legs at Pot Roast and Pino. We're going to do this in the next couple of days.
Try it, like smoke them or something. Add a different flavor.
I love this.
Yeah, that's what makes it all creamy.
Note to self, don't try any of Joe's guacamole in the next few days.
No. It will be completely on the menu if it is frog leg guacamole, so don't worry about it.
A lot of people, when you see the recipes, they always add like a dollop of sour cream or some kind of cream cheese to it.
I don't like it. It doesn't have to have dairy.
No, they use it to try to stop it from turning color. Mm. And ended up that sometimes it makes it work because it makes it very creamy. But that is the true recipe that did
kill it. So let me tell you one of the other oddballs. Like, it blew my mind.
I want to hear about the burning stuff to fix, but go ahead.
All right. So, so the burning stuff. So we were getting ready to fry tortillas, and he said, you know, this is new oil. We're working in a commercial kitchen. It's new oil. We can't use it.
That's gold, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I said, whoa. We're going to fry tortillas in that. That's what we want. He goes, no. We're going to take two tortillas and a couple of poblano-style peppers that have been dried, put them in there, throw them in the fryer, walk away.
Yeah.
When they are black, pull them out.
Uh-huh.
And now we can start making tortillas.
Really?
Yeah, actually.
You know what? It's that cool thing where everybody seasons a pan, right? You season a cast iron, season a French fry.
They were seasoning the oil.
And the whole time I'm like, why did I not?
I
worked for master chefs, like real master chefs.
Yeah.
And they didn't tell me this stuff.
Yeah. Some of these things grandma has to teach you, man. You know, or the locals.
Yeah, we searched all over the place for a very specific ceviche, which was not in the area. It's not common in the area that we were in, but it was from my guide's homeland, home territory, and it was ceviche, honestly made with Fanta orange.
The soda. No, awesome.
Definitely not because he was from Acapulco. In Acapulco, every ceviche has Fanta. And Fanta. You're tasting.
Why?
Like,
is it because oranges are way too expensive or too hard to get hold of?
I'll tell you something about that. I want to add on.
Calvin's becoming quite the resource. I didn't know he was over here.
You need a part-time job. You let me know. Yeah. Or we just sit around and hang out and drink tequila, man.
That's what I do regardless. I make up stuff.
I love it. So he's making this up right now.
So basically what happens is that I'm a saucier, I guess you can call it. So I look for these type of items. And I have a friend of mine in Carolina. He owns a place called Sticky Wings. And he told me he started using Country Time for his lemon pepper wings. Huh. And I'm like, why are you using lemonade? And he's like, well, because when you mix it with cornstarch, the sweet taste that it gives it, you can blend it out. It makes it real sticky. And people just die and just
because of all the sugar and stuff in it.
Yeah, so it's really you're taking the fountain. I'm guessing you're taking the sugar aspect that you would normally put in the brown sugar, I'm thinking. And that's why they're going to go ahead and use the fountain to make the ceviche citrus that much sweeter.
Yeah.
And when you add your peppers and everything else, I think that's why that's happening
now. Dude, who would have thought?
Yeah, and actually for orange.
I got the one before first. Hold on.
That's fine.
For the compound orange, like for anything else, I started experimenting, and then I used orange juice, and I used Tang and everything else, and I found these
pineapple
flavors.
Juice worked really good too.
Yeah, and I found these flavors, and I'm like, wow, I would never think that this powder or, to your point, a soda could give that. With a good whiskey bourbon, you can add whiskey and Coca-Cola.
Yeah, Coca-Cola,
like that, and it just phenomenal.
Wait, I totally expected that to just blow my head off.
Okay.
That was smoother, almost smoother than Diamante.
So the name of the restaurant is Taco Mez, M-E-Z. It's already up on Facebook and MySpace and whatever else is out there. And
we do not have a MySpace, but you can find us on Twitter, Instagram, mostly tacomez.com, M-E-Z. Taco
Ladies
Mez.
And gentlemen, if you'd like to get their MySpace and sell that back to them, now might be the time.
So Mez is short for Mezcal.
Okay.
And Mezcal is a technique. I don't know if it's technically a tequila. Some parts it is a tequila because it's made in the right areas. It's kind of like bourbon. You can make bourbon only in Bourbon County. You can make whiskey anywhere you want. So mezcal is the same product. It's the same piña cactus.
Wow,
it's the same.
So good.
It's the same ingredient.
Yeah, I got you.
And they smoke it. Sometimes they smoke it for a week. Mm. So it's this burnt, charred. It is the Scotch drinker's tequila.
It's got a whole lot of peat, huh?
Well, yeah. Where the smoked peat comes from Scotch, mm-hmm. or you know, things like that. This has really, it's the smoked piña, the root.
My understanding was, and I'm trying to correct, but because my dad's a Scotch drinker and I didn't really start drinking Scotch until probably about a year and a half ago, but it's the peat that gives it the smoky flavor, yeah. Not necessarily that they smoke anything or char the barrel or any of that stuff.
It's the mossy, yeah, it's, whatever
yeah,
the stuff
whatever
is.
That is, that peat and that moss, that's what gives it that flavor.
Yeah.
And what are you guys tasting? Like, I almost taste kind of like an olive to it.
Well, I don't know, man, but it is.
But it's not delicious.
I know what you're saying. It's not an olive. It's almost got a.
I see that where you're talking about. Yeah. Green olive.
There's a little tang to it.
Like right in the front.
So I feel like it could go really well with a lot of foods, you know?
Like, yeah. Wow.
Well, so you've definitely enlightened me on the fact that you don't have to just shoot tequila, which I honestly, I've never sipped tequila. But then again, I didn't drink Scotch till
exactly.
a year and a half
you
ago.
Have to be,
so.
You have to be a certain age to drink Scotch. Yeah, everybody's got their own certain age.
That's
but.
Right, yeah. So, so now I'm enlightened because I could see sipping on a couple of these on the rocks or just like you said, with some lemon and lime in it, with tacos or some lingua or
just a little
some waka,
some real fresh salsa. Really like,
yeah,
the mezcal, I can do that with like a churrasco steak, you know.
Yeah,
you know, I'm sitting there and just the vinegar on that, adding that, and then the Jimador just a sip. I love that one right there.
I forgot, Renee, just reminded me. I forgot you won the Pace Award, dude. That's awesome, man. So Joe won the Pensacola's Area Commitment to Excellence Business Leader of the Year.
I have a lot of people that
now,
make me look good.
I want to say that was, you know what? I was going to make a total joke, but I can't now.
No, go. No,
totally
let me try that one.
Like the noble thing to do right there. So I was going to say who could follow you for the business leader, but that's awesome, dude. Yeah. You are very humbled.
Well, you know, I'm just a chef that got out of the kitchen. That's honest truth.
Yeah.
Like I was a screaming
instead
chef.
Of a stack of celery to chop, it's a stack of paperwork to write.
Exactly,
right?
Yeah. You know, I've even given up my goal for this year is to give up my desk, so I'm back in the kitchens, I'm back in the restaurants.
We just got rid of our desk.
I'm
with you, man.
I go there like maybe an hour every other day,
yeah,
and then everybody asks where are you, and I have to give them my GPS coordinates. They're talking about putting a bell or a tracker on me.
Well, look, here's the deal. No matter where you are, you're obviously within walking distance, right? This was decided.
Yeah.
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 Except for when he's at 9 Mile, which he does go to because we love all of our babies.
We love all of our babies. And, you know, I just got off the phone with a place on the west side. So who knows what's going to happen in 2016. So
dude, this is awesome.
You know, the truth is
I'm so excited for you, especially as hard as this industry is and as most restaurant owners know. But the first thing you hear in culinary school is 80% of these businesses will fail within the first year. And of the 20% that make it, only 5% will last 3 to 7 years after that.
Yeah. You've
managed to do it with multiple locations.
Well, let me tell you, I've had my stumbles, man. And,
I get it. But the fact is you're still standing.
Yeah,
I'm a slow learner.
Awards.
I'm a slow learner is what it is.
But if you talk about Joe's restaurants and what they bring, I mean, you go to Tin Cow and their burgers are phenomenal. The way that they put the burgers together, when you go to Hop Jack, the pizzas, and just taking the extra time of doing the fries and the Belgian, the Belgian fat?
The duck fat
and everything else.
Those crack fries.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't gone to your other restaurants just because I don't leave that area now.
Yeah.
But, you know, now, you know, you're telling me how you do. You got pots and pinos. That's correct. And Southern charm, but a bit different twist.
You know what it tells me? Joe's got a serious ADD problem.
Oh, you have no idea. I call it culinary ADD.
That's it, man.
It's like, what are we going to work on today?
Yeah. Don't build 100 of the same ones. Let's build 100 different. That makes total sense.
What's bad is we already have logos and websites secured for future.
For future. Content.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, can we open tacos first, you guys? Come on.
You're always thinking ahead, though, man. I mean, that's it.
I think that's an entrepreneurial mind. I mean, to your point, yeah. We have things that are future.
Well, absolutely. Which has also been a huge transition in the culinary world over the last probably 10 years, but mostly over the last 5 years, is that it's no longer the restaurant with the chef. The chef is now the entrepreneur. So you're not just the chef anymore. You're you're the business owner. You're the guy writing the payroll. Shoot, on a good day, you're the one washing the dishes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so it's not just the, I'm just the chef anymore. It's, you're the chefpreneur, if that's even a word.
Yeah, I like that. Chef.
Yeah, wherever we are, I'm good. But yeah, go.
you know, I look at it as being a people collector. I cannot do this.
Wow.
That was a tequila face right there.
Yeah, that one on film.
Yeah. We have so many cool, great people with us. Yeah. And that's the only way I'm able to do this is because we have a graphics guy that's churning out logos and stuff. Or we've got, I've got managers that are constantly training new people.
And sous chefs that know how to cook.
Exactly.
And kitchens.
Man.
And, and Renee, who's handles quite well.
She does.
Renee's awesome.
She handles she keeps me in train. She's unofficially my handler.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's just a bunch of cool people that happen to have a similar dream, and I'm the nutcase.
You're able
out.
To help them facilitate
it. Exactly.
I think that's how
that's
we
awesome, dude. I mean, well, congratulations on the award, man. I mean, that's huge. Thanks. Because for those that don't know, you can't get this award on your own. You have to be nominated. And on top of that, people have to vote. So this wasn't, oh, we paid some money, did some advertising or this was some legitimate people that took time out of their day to fill out an online application. I know because I tried.
I know.
Fill out an online.
I have no idea.
This is how it works. So because as chamber members, of course, you get all this kind of stuff because this works through that. But in order for you to have gotten a vote, they had to go to the webpage. They had to fill out their name, their address, and then why they were voting for you, and actually type in a reason for why you were a business leader. So this wasn't just, oh, check the box for Joe. I mean, this was legitimate.
That's awesome.
People taking time out of their day, because it took me about 5 to 7 minutes to vote for you.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well,
go.
I didn't know until 6 minutes before I walked on the stage. I was like, oh, I didn't know why I was there. I thought
you didn't know why you were invited.
Can I give a little backstory on that one?
Go for it.
So this was like the hardest thing. I found out in December, and it's like Joe cannot know. And so the awards were February 16th, and we didn't want him to find out until today.
2 days after Valentine's
Day
in the restaurant world, by the way. Should have been your day off.
Yeah. Of course, one of our coworkers, who's, you've been on there with Jared, his beautiful girlfriend, she's in the cosmetology world. And so it somehow slipped who the winners were.
Oh,
and so,
no.
We get a text that's like, oh my gosh, like, Joe, you won a PACE award? And Joe's like, I won a PACE award. And me and Joe's girlfriend are freaking out. We're like, oh my God, shut up. Don't say anything else. And so we're giving Joe a hard time. Like, the invitation comes in the mail, and it's for, buy your tickets today for the PACE awards. And Joe's like, do you think anything? And me and Amy are like, be real. It's January. If you won, we would have known by now. Yeah. Like, don't get your hopes
up. They didn't let everybody know until right before, though.
No, but so, like, we're telling him, though, because he doesn't know about it. We're telling him, like, no, they've already picked the winners. Like, the winners know. You didn't get it. Yeah, sorry. No. Like, better luck next year.
You suck. You don't get it.
So, like, he still kind of has it in the back of his mind. So I asked the chamber if they'll write this fake letter being like, sorry, he didn't get it. And they're like, we don't feel right doing that. And I'm like,
I didn't see any of that.
I'm like, reply to my email anyways. And so, like, I change it. And so all this stuff, we like have these people pretend they have extra seats at their table. And so it's like, oh, free dinner. Okay. So like, Joe's going, for this award, just for this table, he was invited, going with his friends.
Yeah.
And, oh, wow. Then these other friends of his show up. Whoa, wait, now one of his employees shows up. Wait, now two more of his employees show up.
Slow learner. I told you this. Yeah. I still have no idea.
So he's just like sitting there. The award.
Oh, great. We're all hanging out here to support the community.
Honestly, Quint Studer came over, and Quint knows who I am, but it's always kind of a running joke because he never knew my name.
Right. Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah. You're the restaurant guy. Yeah.
But it's like, he leans over and goes, congratulations. And I'm like, what? And it was like something out of the movie. I all went, oh my God, I got it now.
Yeah.
So
it was there you are.
And it was 6 minutes. So.
Awesome.
Anyway, like I said, I've got a bunch of great people that are slow learners enough like me to
believe in what you're doing, man.
And do it. So it's fun, man. I mean, this is.
And you've got some creative people, and you know how to pull that out of other people.
Yeah.
Which I think is you cannot live in the culinary world unless you are A, creative, B, people person, and C, whether you can really just pull some teams together and make it happen.
It's awesome, man.
And you've done it multiple times.
Man, I'm having the best time of my life.
Hey, amen, man. So what was the last one we just had?
So the last one you had
was the Anejo?
Was the,
I always feel like I'm calling somebody a bad name when I say that.
Herradura.
What?
Herradura.
Oh, okay. That's the brand name.
We're going to learn Spanish by the end of this episode.
Decided by Calvin. Yeah. So that one was good.
Yeah, so this is the most aged of the bunch that we had, except for probably the Mezcal. Mezcal may have been aged a little longer.
Yeah.
But yeah, starts to get that, you know, that caramely flavors to it, picks up a lot of oak stuff.
Yeah, that one was definitely, yeah.
If you're a dark tequila, that was probably one of the better.
I want some more of this one. Right, because we've made it through the cycle, haven't exactly. we? Okay, so let's start back at the top then.
Are you saying it took you any, kind of a long time to point to that one?
No, I was just making sure that that's the one I wanted. I mean, we have so much to choose from. 2, 4, 6 different tequilas, which is cool.
Like I said, man, I'm not coming to your place.
Are you going to pair on the menu? Are you going to pair what might go well to sip with?
So the idea is that to do sipping tequilas, we'll also be doing flights.
Yeah.
So people can really kind of get in.
Yeah, because
love flights.
You would have known.
I would never have known had we not done what we
never
just did today.
And
seriously.
So it will also have some really, really high-end stuff. Like,
yeah.
We think there's expensive bourbons out there. There is some crazy tequila prices.
Yeah.
Are we
there.
Talking about yeah. Don Julio's being one of them, right?
Real, you know, Don Julio Real, there's, you know.
Three Brothers isn't cheap
Three
either.
Brothers are not cheap.
Is it? I don't like it's. It, they do some weird stuff to it, but it's so smooth.
Yeah,
it's so worth it.
But there are tequilas. I mean, we're talking. It's easy to get into the $500 range for a bottle.
Easy. I'll tell you, my back end is.
I'm in the wrong market.
My
man.
Back end is point of sale, so I would go to the Wyndhams, the Sheridans and everything else, and the bottle of tequila would be like $13,000. It was a Don Julio, like. Mm. It was made 120 years ago.
Yeah.
Apparently they were making it. I was like, it's insane. And I actually
1942 when it started.
Yeah, and then I actually saw that funny story is we're talking about that. We get a tasting, and then the guy drops the bottle.
Oh. That's it.
It was like,
you're,
wow.
fired. You're fired.
Yeah.
You're fired.
Because he was trying to, it has a certain type of seal. So he was just trying to show that, you know, when you flip it over, nothing's going to happen. But when you flip it over, it started pouring out. He panicked, let go of the bottle. And he was just trying to, he was literally trying to pull some back. But yeah, I like the Don Julio's. They're nice and everything else. But really, they're not much different than what we have over here. I mean,
that Don Julio's good stuff too. Yeah, and that's the cool thing, man, is that they everybody has that notion of tequila. They have that notion of, oh my God, it was that.
No, you totally just broke it for me.
Yeah. And that's what we're looking to do in Pensacola is really kind of break down.
It's almost like, oh, you're shooting tequila. You should be ashamed of yourself.
But see, I'm excited because this adds another aspect for me. You know, we've been planning all these beer dinners, these wine dinners, these beer versus wine dinners with, you know, which one do you like better? We're going to be doing tequila dinners.
Yeah, which is cool.
To be pairing with the meals. Which, speaking of which, going back to the dinner round.
Always with the plugs.
Handler.
Always. She's good. No, Handler. I got one over here. Okay. We
coming up March 22nd, our 5-course wine dinner at Pot Roast and Pinot. It's with Ravana and their sister winery, Alexana, and it's going to be amazing.
And it's tiny production wines. Like, most of them are over, like,
ooh, goat
like
cheese foie gras ice cream.
That's what I'm talking
goat
about.
Cheesecake, sorry. Foie gras ice cream.
Yeah.
Okay, so I got two things that we got to talk about here. When I see this food, it makes me think of when we went to London a week or so ago, and we did an international launch of Foodie Life, and as Renee wears one of the first 7 beta tests out there, so it's going to be worth something here soon, I promise. Anyway, we ended up getting a really cool table at Elaine Ducasse at the Dorchester.
Yes, you did.
3-star Michelin. So, man, I cannot explain to you how much it wasn't even food. It was like the entire experience. So for those of you that may not know what 3 stars means, it just means that you just dominate. There is nothing better.
Yeah, it's not a U.S. 5-star.
Yeah, it's not. And it's not even the food is one aspect of it, but everything. I mean, from the time we walked into the Dorchester to the time we left, 110% spot on, didn't miss a beat.
Did you drop your fork on the ground like in the movie?
No, like in the movie? No, but I watched that movie Burnt, which was awesome.
Yeah.
Going over on the plane. So again, you know, it just adds a whole nother dimension to what it really means to be a 3-star Michelin establishment. Thanks to our fantastic friends, Di Taylor and my dad, and we had 2 great guests, Michael and R, who came with us and just man, yeah, I have not been blown away by that kind of food experience in a long time.
The Michelin stars, man, what's so cool about
you
that
don't get it until you go do it.
Yeah.
You have to go do it.
Like, there's all these rules, and they're rules that you'll never know of. Like,
yeah.
We were.
Like your knife's one thumb. Quarter of a thumb inch away from the table.
Exactly.
Like,
or,
all of your plates are sitting down at the same time. Like,
yeah,
the right spoon and the right fork for the right course delivered at the right time. And if you just mess up once, you don't get the star.
I worked at the Ritz-Carlton, and one of the things that we were trying to get, we had a 5-star, 5-diamond restaurant, mm-hmm. and we were trying to go for Michelin. So you could not get a Michelin star in that restaurant. Because of the way the restaurant was designed,
yeah.
Because you had to cross a threshold to get to a restroom,
right?
Now, can you guys break down what Michelin stars is? I mean,
man,
I
you're gonna have to Google. Oh. It's a huge history, but
no,
it basically,
you need to see the movie. That's like the easiest way.
Yeah, watch Burnt.
Yeah,
that's
is
great.
That the one with Bradley?
Bradley Cooper.
Let me tell
in
you, man. There was on so many levels some just great representation, and for somebody who's never cooked in the culinary world and never trained in that aspect. To pick that up in a couple months enough to act it out in what is very convincing, I'm totally impressed.
I guess I'm gonna have to
I went with my chef boyfriend.
Dude, you gotta watch it because it'll as a chef, it'll hit you right in the heart, dude. Absolutely right in the heart.
That's awesome
in its entirety. So, it started as a way for tourism to get built because you'd go see these places based on how many stars they have. But now it is seriously like the emblem of absolute excellence. If you have two Michelin stars, you're God.
If you have one, you have done
really, really well, and more than whatever it is, 95% of the restaurant population in the world, probably 99% of the restaurant population in the world. I think Michelin 3 stars, I think there's only 16 or 20. I think it's somewhere between 16 and 20.
Yeah, and that's
in the
worldwide.
Entire world.
Now, when you say the experience, are we talking about
They
bring out the right temperature of the food. It gets in your mouth.
It was like, crazy.
It's beyond the food. Like, because to get to that kind of level, the food has to be at a certain level. I guess, lack of a better
right.
term.
But none of it makes sense without the entire experience.
Yeah, it
like
has
your
to be the
napkin
experience.
And your fork probably means more than how the food tastes.
Wow. And the way that they would deliver it to us, and the way that they presented the food. I mean, you can see the videos if you go to the Foodie Life Facebook page. But you know, things were timed mm-hmm. correctly, so all the plates were set down at
Russian
the same time in the in this correct place. Or there was the brigades, old school brigade
old
weight system, dude, like we did in JW, old school brigade system. So I was explaining this to somebody the other night, like. And they were like, why do you need 9 servers per table? And I was like, because that's just part of the experience. That's how this goes. And so what do you mean? And I was like, well, you know, you had 3 people putting down this plate at this time. You had 2 people putting down this plate at this time. You had 2 people coming in after the plate was down, pouring the final sauce on it at this time. And so, you know, just, I mean, it's classical French style service. Everything is mathematically correct where the silverware goes, where the plate goes, how far it is from the, it's an entire experience, and some people don't appreciate it because they don't either know it or haven't experienced it. But like when Joe and I went to Johnson & Wales, man, I mean, that's what they taught you. So to turn around and watch it actually like in full on action,
we were just faking it.
I know. We're just trying to make the grade, man. But to watch it in true action for what it was designed to do, I mean, you might as well just been a king, dude, because that's exactly how
so
they
treat you. Like Alonda Kos is probably top
brilliant
five
man.
In the
brilliant.
World living chefs like really just floors it.
Yeah, so we got the tour of the kitchen, we got the tour of the wine room, which was awesome because it could not have been bigger. The part that we were able to walk into couldn't have been bigger than a closet, but the way that it was designed and the way that it could fetch bottles, and they had an exact same replica right upstairs, so they basically only had 2 bottles of each wine. He had one that was ready to go and one sitting there in backup. And but the way it was designed, they just didn't need that much space.
Because when there's 15,000 bottles or, you know, God knows how many.
Well, I think they had I think it was 2,200-something selections in that cellar, and then they had one duplicate upstairs. So they had 4,400 bottles of wine.
That's actually pretty small.
So, yeah, but that was it. I mean, when you had it, you had it. When it was gone kind of thing.
So you can say that when you go here, you know, like what wine you're gonna pick, or you go by the
you figure it
you
out real quick. Yeah. You know, I mean, you know, and of course the sommeliers on staff to help you recommend the
the
next 4,000 grand pounds you're about to spend.
So I tell you what the cooks did, what we did is we would always take a wine person with us so they would figure it out.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'm going to tell you what we're
eating. Here's what I can spend. Here's what we're eating. Figure it out for me. Yeah. Yeah. Man, so we had that and we exchanged some Foodie Life t-shirts and did some pictures and stuff. But, and, so he's the executive chef there, Sean, and I'll have to include the name when we post. But, so, cause Elaine Ducasse is out doing Elaine Ducasse things with the other 16 establishments he has. But, so we get to hang with the chef there and exchange Foodie Life stuff. So we've got some international
that is
Foodie Life stuff going.
Ridiculous, dude. I am so jealous.
The second and final biggest announcement for today.
Dun, dun, dun.
So part of what there's been some things that I've been working on with some friends and business associates for many, many years that have finally, it just all clicked. It just all worked. So coming in the middle of April, we will be filming for a show called You Say Tomato, I Say Tomato.
I love that.
Nice.
So this is a
about
show.
About to break into song.
Yeah, I know, right? And our London partners are listening right now. So if you are there, Dave and Mark, hello. And Dad, if you're tuning in, this is fantastic. How are you? This is a show based around the uncommon commons of Pop Fizz and Mimosa or Bloody Mary or Tomato and Vodka or Key Lime Pie and Spotted Dick or, you know, all
chips
of
and
Chips and
crisp,
Fish. Yeah. Yeah, or, yeah, Chips and Crisp. Crisp, yeah, sure. All of this. Yeah. So we've got the American chef and we've got the British sort of home cook and dabbles a little bit. And we got a whole lot of banter and a whole lot of lingo and language to change, but, or exchange and make fun of each other with and have a really good time. But we are going to be filming and doing some radio piece to it starting the week of April 10th. So you'll see us around town with cameras. We're going to film at your place there at Hop Jack's because that's total American tap room, pizza, whatever else we can get our hands
over
on.
Over the top.
And maybe even Taco Mez.
Yeah,
too.
You know what? We might just have to slide on over there.
I think we should slide on.
I think we
should have some, you know.
We can kind of figure something out here.
Right away,
so.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And then we've got Union Public House to sort of give us the American-British side of things.
I went there for the first time after us having
great
our
food, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a really good time. I was really happy because the drinks that, you know, Patrick gave us the inside scoop on what to get, those were the drinks that were amazing.
I always tell him to make me the Chupacabra, which that's not what it's called. It's the Caprahina, and it's Brazilian, not Mexican.
It's the Caipiranha.
Yeah, yeah. So everybody's got a different way to say it. So when I look at Patrick and I joke, I'm like, dude, just make me the Chupacabra.
And I think that's the cool thing about your show, man, is it's what we mess up.
Yeah,
what we can't pronounce there. You know, it's
somebody else's
it's
gold,
common knowledge.
Gold mine. Yeah, exactly. Or common knowledge. So that is coming here. Hopefully, what can happen is that we're going to extend this and make it a global thing. And I don't know, go hang out in London, maybe do a couple of restaurants and stuff over there. But
yeah,
anyway, You Say Tomato, I Say Tomato starts here in Pensacola filming the week of April 10th to the 16th. So if you want to come out to Hop Jack's or out to Union Public House and support us, we would love to have you out there hanging out and come drink some tequila or chupacabra or
beer.
Duck fries or maybe beer or whatever. So, but man, this has been a five, almost 6 year dream of mine to do some TV and make this happen.
That's
and
awesome.
So Grubon's going to be doing the filming.
Yes,
and, you know, you guys are participating, but like I said, it just all the pieces finally clicked, man.
Again,
so
we're making Pensacola, you know.
Yeah.
We're making it not America's best kept secret, but now we're letting people know.
Yeah.
So we're bringing the international
worldwide,
city,
baby.
Man, I think this city has so many people who are just
ready. We're bursting at the seams.
We're bursting at the seams. We are ready. Like, I don't even think we have our eyes on somebody on another city. I think we just have there's a burn that's in a lot of entrepreneurs that is going to we've seen a huge explosion in the last 8 years.
I've been saying this in the last year and a half, it's compounded on itself.
Yeah, give it five.
Yeah.
You know, all hell's breaking loose, man.
Yeah,
and I think that's the cool thing about the entrepreneurs that are here and having a show based here.
Yeah.
I think is just stellar, man. I cannot be happier.
And just to add on to that, I've been here about a year and a half going on now. And I've lived prior to this, Miami, Atlanta, New York, all the
places to be, and just the way that people come together here. It is a collaborative effort to make each other grow.
It's a true sense of community.
Exactly. True sense of community. We all grow together. We all have a good time. We have beers. We have tequilas. We sit. We talk. People just love that. And just to your point, bringing the show and showing that to people, you're right. Next five years, we're going to be great.
It's awesome, man.
So today was my first international conference call.
Nice.
At 6 a.m.
Why do we always get the cheap end of the stick?
Because we're 6 hours different. It's better for them to do business there in the morning and us to do it sort of in the morning, even though it's noon, but it's still morning. Just trust me. We can explain some more off air.
It's like 2 o'clock your time would make it a whole lot better.
Yeah, but see, 2 o'clock their time, which is 8 o'clock our time, is total like pub time, you know? So you can't.
Yeah, it's a different culture,
you know,
right?
I mean, you don't want your accountant pub timing while you're trying to figure out, you know, numbers and stuff. So I'll get up earlier. That's fine.
That's all right.
So these are some of the fun aspects that have slowly started becoming part of my life over the last week or two as this reality has gotten seriously real and been fun. Wait till you meet Dave and Mark when they, and if you guys are listening, hello, but wait till you meet them when they come up. I mean, we're going to have some fun. We are going to have some fun.
If they could see how many empty shot glasses are on this table, they would know
pictures.
How much fun they were going to have
I've
right now.
Pictures, so
be
that's
ready.
It, man. So you say tomato, I say tomato. Starts filming in April. Dude. You guys got Tex-Mex opening, and we got Grub playing next Friday night, and Grub Ninja is kicking it.
Yeah, Grub on, come, please come out. Gallery night, support Objects. Come check us out at O'Reilly's for the first show.
Yeah.
And we'll continue that tradition every gallery night. You know, maybe next time we'll be at Objects.
Love it.
We'll go from
I'm
there.
Down with that.
I'm down.
I'm sure we could do some kind of big party. These guys know a few people.
We can get Chicky to deliver it, man. Yeah,
we kind of have a party problem, but it's okay.
That's all right. It's never a problem.
Never.
It's never a problem. A condition, maybe. Problem. Disease sometimes, yes, but no. So.
It doesn't need to be treated.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. There's no medication for that. So, all right, guys, we got to get out of here. We've been hanging here for an hour. So we can stay, but we got to get off the radio.
Sorry for all the tequila you guys won't be drinking with us after this.
Well, if you want to come to Hop Jacks,
that's
come
right.
to Taco Master. You heard Joe, next 60 days. We put that pressure on.
Dude, I can't wait.
Arriba.
I'm ready. Awesome.
Remember, Grub On at O'Reilly's. Come support us. Check out the
show. Next Friday.
Gallery night.
Okay, cool. Thank you guys for coming in. Thank you. We got more tequila. We got 6 bottles here.
We're not leaving.
All right, you guys. Again, it's been Foodie Life, Foodie Life series here on Pensacola Business Radio. You can find us at Picola Radio X on Twitter. You can find us at Picola BRX on Facebook, or you can find us on our webpage at pensacola.businessradiox.com. Thanks for coming in, everybody. And this has been Pensacola Business Radio, where business is good and your work matters.